Turn with me back to Exodus 19. Exodus 19. My pastor, I quote him often because he was such a wise man, faithful preacher of God's Word. He once said that Scripture is bifocal, meaning it has two views, two ways to look at it. Sometimes it's trifocal, sometimes even more. It has a primary meaning. The first and primary meaning of Scriptures is scriptural, spiritual. The first meaning is spiritual. And as you know, it points to Christ. It's first and foremost, primarily, speaks of Christ. All the Scriptures bear witness of Jesus Christ. And that's my job, to find Him there and to set Him forth and lift Him up and be looked at. And His secondary meaning, literal, the word, the story is literal, an actual story, people just like you and me. And here in this story, Moses clearly represents Christ. If you entered into the reading of it, it's just amazing. Last time we met together, we were reading, I forget, where did I preach from last time? Somebody tell me. See, I don't even remember. But I remember thinking, this is amazing. We could just go home after reading it. So clearly speaks of Christ. And then it's us. It's our story. Israel, that's us. Moses, that's me. Just a man. People are just people. Look at verse 3, beginning the story. Moses went up unto God. The Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, the children of Israel, tell my people. He went up into the mountain. Now, remember Ephesians 4, it says, he that ascended is first he that descended, right? So, our Lord, who was on high, descended into this earth. Like Moses, he was called of God. He was chosen of God out of the people. He was sent by God, the Son of God, the Word of God. To whom? Who was He sent to? God's people. Though the whole world heard and has read and heard the books of Moses, only God's chosen people believe them. Don't they? Only God's chosen people are known by Him and know Him. And that's through preaching of the Word. So Moses here is such a clear picture of our Lord who came down to God's people. He's the only mediator between God and men. I keep telling you this, and it's to remind us that the only person that God speaks to human beings through is Jesus Christ. God in sundry times and diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. He's even called the Word. So Moses was the only mediator between God and man, the deliverer, the leader, the pastor, wasn't it? Moses was the pastor of the people, to God's people. And he listen to John the Baptist, what he said of Christ. And so the Lord told Moses to come up into the mountain, receive my word, and then go down and tell the people from me the word. Listen to what John the Baptist said of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testified. And it says, God sent him He whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, like Moses. So our Lord Jesus Christ, and Moses even said that God will raise up a prophet like unto me, and him you'll hear. That prophet, capital P. So that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. It says, the Lord said to Moses to tell the people, this is what Moses was to tell the people. Verse 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. You have seen. He said, tell Moses, you tell the people what I have done. Remind them what they've seen that I have done unto your enemies. And isn't that what Christ did? Look at chapter 14. Go back to chapter 14. Remember this? Exodus 14. Look at that. So he told Moses, you tell the people, remind the people what I did unto the Egyptians. What I did and how I carried you and where I have brought you. Look at Exodus 14. Look at verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. What is God telling Moses to preach? Christ crucified. And only God's people have seen Christ and him crucified on a cross and what he did. He says in verse 30 here, he says, you've seen how God saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptian. Who saved? Who did the saving? God did. Salvation's of the Lord. You know it's so. It's of the Lord. God purposed it. Christ purchased it by his own blood, and the Holy Spirit applies it. It's of the Lord, 100%. Salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. God said, you've seen what I did by himself. I did this for you. And so have you, haven't you? You've seen that. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. Christ delivered us from sin, from Satan. Took captivity captive. And it says in verse 30, Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Where do we see our enemy defeated? Where do we see our sins put away? Our enemy. Where do we see ourselves, this old man within us, killed? On the cross, on the mount, Mount Calvary. When Christ crucified. There you see. We're dead. You're dead. Your life is hid with God in Christ. And verse 31 says, Israel saw that great work which the Lord did, you see. What great work? Putting away sin by the sacrifice of himself on Calvary's tree. We saw that. We've seen that. And the people feared the Lord. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And they believed the Lord. And you know what? They believed his service. You know what? We believe that Christ is the Lord, no, that salvation is of him, through him, by him, to him, for his glory. He did it all. We believe that. We've seen it. We've seen him on the tree. And we believe he's God's servant. And we believe he sent men, like Moses, like Joshua, like Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and Paul, and Peter, and Scott, and Henry, and men. And we know them because this is the message they preach. And we believe them. We believe they're God's men. Don't we? All right, go back to Exodus 19. So he said in verse 4, you've seen what I did to your enemies. I did this. You've seen that. And how I bear you on eagle's wings. Brought you to myself. There, they left Egypt by mercy and grace and by the blood of the Lamb. They were brought out of Egypt, out of bondage, brought out into the wilderness. And what are they doing? What are they going to do for the next 40 years? Just journey through the wilderness and keep sacrificing lambs and worshiping God in the wilderness as they travel until they finally get to the promised land. So he said, you've seen how that I bore you on eagle wings. I bore you. I bear you. That means I carried you. Listen. Listen to this. You've seen that I bear you. Listen to Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our sorrows, our griefs, carried our sorrows. You've seen how that Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree, haven't you? I bore you. I bore in my body on the tree, Christ said, what you were doing. God laid on him iniquity of us. You've seen that. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed. You've seen that, he said. Surely he hath borne our griefs and borne our sins in his body on the tree. Why? To bring us to God. Look at our text. It says, I bear you on eagle's wing and brought you unto myself. Christ bore our sins in his body because we can't get to God unless we have clean hands, pure heart, never sworn deceit, lifts up our soul. Who can do that? Christ did. And that's how we get to God, through him. Look at Isaiah 46. This is, some of you love this verse. Our sister Nancy loves this verse. He said, you've seen how I carried you. I bore you on eagle's wings to bring you all the way to God. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, look at this. This is wonderful. It begins talking about these false gods that they have to carry around. They have to carry them around because they don't have any hands and feet, and they have no hands but your hand, no feet but your hand, your feet. But God said, now you listen to me, verse 3, Isaiah 46. You listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel. You're born by me. You're born, you're carried by me. You're carried from the womb. The day you were born, I formed you in the belly. Until your old age, how long is he going to carry us? When did he start carrying us? Just as soon as he were born of God, from the womb. How long is he going to bear with us? How long is he going to carry us all the way to glory? All the way. To your hoary head. I'm looking at, you know, 35 years ago, I came here, and there wasn't very many hoary heads in here. Not many almond trees had flourished yet. Man, I'm looking at a bunch of them now. A bunch of them. Some of you color it, or it would be gray. But he said, I'm going to carry you all the way, like that sheep that he found. He went, left the 99, that's our Lord, left the multitude of heavenly hosts, came down here. Here one, here there one, came down and found each one of them. What did he do? Come on, little sheep, follow me. Come on, take the first. He put her on his shoulders. And then what did he do? Carried it all the way home. He said, look, I've found my sheep that was lost. I've brought her all the way home. I'm going to carry you. I've borne you on eagle's wings. I didn't choose that title because it was catchy, though it does catch your attention. It just sounds wonderful, doesn't it? The whole thought. And it's true, though people can't really substantiate it much, but it is true. Some bear witness that some eagles do indeed carry their young on their wings. But this, our Lord said, I have carried you on eagle's wings. An eagle is one of the most wonderful and majestic, beautiful creatures God has ever made. There's none like it. Number one, an eagle soars high above this world, doesn't it? None higher. No bird flies higher than an eagle. High above, soaring high above. No creature higher. Well, that's our Lord, isn't it? High and lifted up, our Lord. And He shall indeed lift us up high above this earthly place one of these days. An eagle is none, there's no creature on earth that has the vision of an eagle, is it? We talk about eagle eye, and that's a fact. Just look at some of these, you know, stories of eagles, and you'll see that the eagles, you know, mile up in the sky, a mile, can see a mouse on the ground. Now that's vision, isn't it? Well, his eyes behold, and his eyelids try. He sees everything. He's omniscient. He knows everything. All seeing. There's none more seeing than an eagle. And our Lord, His eyes behold, His eyelids try. The eagle, none more beautiful. No creature nor more majestic. I love the bald-headed eagle. Look at their eyes. Look at their countenance. Serious, aren't they? No foolishness there. You look at they're just glorious, aren't they? Glorious. Majestic. What do eagles stand for? You still with me? Liberty. Why is it that men chose this bird as an emblem of liberty? Because none more free than eagles. None more free. They nest way up on the top of the highest mountains and the top of the trees. And no predator soar that high. Get at them. They're high above everything, everyone. And they have complete liberty. Well, didn't our Lord say, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He said, I bear you on eagle's wing. I'm going to take you all the way to glory. He's the only one that can. We know we're not only on His wings. He's not only going to carry us all the way to glory. We're under His wing. I love when this happens. I've been reading through the Psalms, and just yesterday morning, I came to Psalm 17. And I was still unsettled on the message, whether it be Psalm 133 or Joshua 2 or Exodus 19. And I read Psalm 17 and came down to this verse. It says, keep me as the apple of thy eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wing. Under the shadow of that wing. Under His wings. Our Lord said this two or three times in the gospel. He said, how oft would I have gathered you as a mother hen doth gather her brood under her wings. But He said of so many, you would not. How about you? I want to be under His wing, don't you? Safely abide under His wing. Safely abide Him. Is that where you want to be? I've told you this, but some of you haven't heard it. I know for a fact someone hadn't heard it. We had some chickens years ago. And one time during a terrible storm, we had a nice little chicken house for them. Mindy had curtains on the windows. Curtains on the windows of the chicken house. It was spotless. One time I went in there and said, you complain about these curtains, you're in the frying pan. But anyway, we loved those chickens. We cared about those chickens. We built them a nice home, comfortable home. And I went in every night to check on those chickens, to make sure they're all in their roosts on their nest. I want them all home safe. They're my chickens. I want them home safe. Okay. Well, there's a terrible storm out there that night. And one of our favorite chickens, she had just hatched two little biddies, two little babies. She had just hatched them. I knew it. I saw them. She wasn't in the house that night. Storm. Fierce storm. So I went around and went looking for her. Now, what's one chicken? That's my chicken. What's two little bitties? They're my babies. And I promise those chickens I'd take care of them and their babies. By the way, I never ate one of them. Okay, so I went out looking. And I found her, the mother, under the tractor. And she was hiding under the tractor for fear. And I went out there and I picked her up. And I said, where are your babies? Where are your little babies? I can't find your babies. Where are your babies? Tell me where your babies are. And all of a sudden, those two babies fell out. They were under her wings. They fell out on the ground. She was hiding those babies in that fierce storm under her wing. And I cried. So that's where I want to be all my days. The storms of life. How about you? He's not only going to bear us on his wings, but while we're here in the storms of life, under his wing. Under his wing. He said, I brought you all the way to God. All the way to God. And for this reason, Christ came down to bring us, it says there in our text, bring us to himself. Bring you unto myself. Who's that? God. Well, Christ, yes. One and the same. So he says in verse 5, go tell the people, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. All the earth is mine. If you'll obey my voice, keep my covenant, you're my peculiar treasure, you're my people, everything and everyone belongs to me. I'm Lord and creator of it all. It all belongs to me. Hear my voice, obey me, believe me, keep my covenant, you're my people. Not what Christ did and said. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They won't hear another. They won't hear a stranger. They hear my voice. My voice. And we're his peculiar treasure, purchased. That's what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2. He said, you're a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation unto God. Purchased. Treasure. You know what? God's people are a treasure to him. He paid a great price for them. They weren't worth anything when he found them. They were worthless. But he paid such a great price now because of the price he paid for them. They're now invaluable to him. You think about that. And you know what? He's a treasure to us today. Moses, it says, esteemed the reproach of Christ greater treasure than all the riches of Egypt. And so it is with God's people. They're a treasure to him, and you know what? He's a treasure to them above everyone and everything. And then in verse 6 he said, you'll be priest unto me, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. What does that mean? Holy nation, that means that people dedicate. Holy means dedicated, consecrated to God. Holy always applies the thing to God. They're not holy things, but people to God. Consecrated, dedicated for God. Earthly things, man. Holy things to God. He said, you're going to be a holy people unto me, a holy nation, of king, a kingdom of priests, God's sons, who is king, that makes us his family and priests. The Levites, the priests in the Old Testament, their life, their whole life was spent ministering about the tabernacle, about the temple. That's what they did. 40 years in the wilderness. What did they do? They worshiped God and took care of the tabernacle, cut wood, cleaned dishes, emptied the ashes, helped Moses, and this and that and the other. Their life was spent around the worship of God, around the tabernacle and the temple. And that's God's true people. This is not a part of their life. It is their life. They're priests. Christ is their life, and the worship of Christ is their life. It's not a one day a week,
thing. It's an everyday of the week thing.
You hear me? Christ is our life. Christ came down and said, I am come that they might have life. What is that life? Him. And you can't separate him and them. You hear me? They're married. Wherever he is, she is. And wherever they are, where you want to be. It's your life. You're priests. I'm not the only one minister here. I'm not the only ministering here. Every one of God's true people are ministers unto him. That's why Christ came. Keep reading. Go down in verse 7. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people. And our Lord called disciples, didn't he? Called prophets, apostles, pastors, and teachers. Laid before their faces all these words. Moses told them. What were they to do? Tell the people. And look at verse 8. All the people answered together. All the people answered when they heard the word of the Lord. They said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. They confessed. We believe you. We believe the word you've spoken to us. And that's what we'll do. We'll keep your covenant. We'll follow you. Isn't that what all of God's people do? When they hear Christ's voice, his gospel, they follow him. And what happened? Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. He went back to the Lord and told, this is what your people said. They're going to follow you. Thy people shall be willing in the day of his power. What's his power? Christ. The gospel. Look at verse 10. The Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes. Why did Christ come down here? To defeat our enemies, defeat our foes, to give us life, make us his peculiar people, his treasure, purchased people. And he came down here to sanctify us, set us apart, make us holy, a holy people unto God. Well, how did he do this? You know this. You've read these scriptures. You know these scriptures. By his will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Didn't our Lord say, for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified? He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and redemption. So our Lord said to Moses, sanctify the people. And our Lord said to Christ, sanctify the people. And we're sanctified by him. You don't sanctify yourself. He sanctifies us. Okay? And we're letting them wash their clothes. We're washed. You're justified. You're sanctified. You're washed in what? The blood. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Christ. And the water of his word, which is the blood. Which is the blood. And look at verse 11. He said, be ready. Be ready against the third day. Why? The third day, the Lord's coming down. In the sight of all the people. On Mount Sinai. Didn't all the scriptures tell us that Christ came to live and Christ came to die and on the third day he would rise again? Didn't it say that? He did, didn't it? Just like he said. He came down, he went up, he's coming again. Now look again with me. Okay? Said it's bifocal. This is Christ, isn't it? This is Christ. Who can Moses represent here but Christ? Christ. Okay? Preeminently. Primarily. Moses. But Moses is just a man. Like me. He's a sinful man. He's a sinful man. He's just a man. He was an unbelieving man before. He was a heathen. He was 40 years old. He was an idolater. He was a heathen. He was a sinful man when the Lord found him. But the Lord chose him. The Lord called him. The Lord
sent him. To who? God's people.
God's people. God's chosen people. What did he send Moses to do? Preach this message. All through here. Go tell my people. Thus saith the Lord. This is what the man of God is sent to do. God spoke to him, and he was to speak to them, what? The word of God. The word of God. And look at verse 7. And so Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. My job is to preach God's word. That's it. That's it. One time I stopped at the bank, and I forget, it was a holiday or something, Christmas or Easter or something, and a woman, the teller, said to me, what are you doing today, visiting, going to the hospital to visit or getting ready for Easter? I said, no, I'm going to go sit at the study and read God's word and prepare to preach the word. That's what I am, a preacher, and that's what I do every day. I said, you come to the bank, you sit and count money. But I go sit at my desk and prepare the word to preach to the people. That's what I do. That's my job. And so that's what he said. You call the people and you lay before them, for their faces, all the words which the Lord commands you. And verse 8 says, all the people answered together, said, all that the Lord has spoken, we'll do. We'll do. We will. You know, they confessed. And I preach the gospel. I tell you to confess the Lord in believer's baptism down in Second Peter, First Corinthians 10. It says all the people were baptized unto Moses and in the sea, in the cloud, in the sea. Every one of the people. He uses that word baptized. Is that important? Every one of them. Every one of these people said, what you tell us to do, that's what we're going to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm telling you to do. That's what I'm telling you to do. Every time I stand up, I'm bringing you God's word. Now believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth, and what? And is baptized, shall be saved. And at Pentecost, 3,000 people heard Peter preach, and every one of them was baptized. Every one of them. And they continued like priests. From then on, their life was the worship of God and the worship of Christ. All of them. And that's what I tell you today. And God, what God told me to tell you. Now look at verse 9. He said, and Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And, you know, I pray for you. In verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud. You know, I preach in part. We see through a glass dimly, a cloud. I don't have all the answers. I did when I was younger. You ask me anything. Now I don't want you to ask me anything. No, I do, but. Oh, I tremble. And I only go to God. Lord, I don't know. Please tell me. And so, the Lord said to Moses, and he speaks, but it's in a dark cloud. And that the people may hear when I speak unto thee and believe thee forever. They're going to believe a man? You know, many of those people actually believe that man, that sinful man, God sent that man. And they followed him. Many of them. Many of them. They believed him. They followed him. They trusted him. Many of them didn't. They turned against him. Moses never turned against them. They turned against him. In the beginning, nearly all of them were saying, oh, that man that God has sent to us, how blessed we are. And in the end, some of them were saying, they called him that fellow. That's what they did. They said, that fellow, we don't know what's happened to this fellow. That's sad. It's a sad fact. But many of them believed that this was God's man and they followed him. Moses never got over the fact that the Lord called him, and he was the meekest man on earth. The meekest man on earth. What's that mean? He meant, he didn't want the job in the beginning, and he didn't want it in the end. But he had the job. They're going to believe you. They're going to hear from me. And they're going to believe you. And Moses told the people, this is what the Lord said. This is what the Lord said. Now look at verse 10. The Lord said unto the people, the Lord said unto Moses, go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Go get them ready. Moses, go tell the people to get ready to meet me. Prepare them. Prepare them to come and meet their God. This is not just any other day. This is holy. It's a holy day. The day of the Lord. And this is not any other place or any other thing that we're doing. We're not to look like or act like or conduct ourselves just like we do every day. No, this is a special day in the Lord. Moses, you go tell these people to set themselves apart, to get ready, to meet me. And I tell you all the time, you know, recently somebody said, I'm not getting anything out of his preaching. That's what they say. They're not here right now. Well, here's my question. What do you bring to put in it? Put it in. If you don't bring an empty vessel, if your vessel is full of the world and junk food and all that, no, you're not going to get a thing in. If your mind's elsewhere, you're not going to get a thing. If you stayed up all night Saturday night, you're not going to get a thing out of the message anymore. If on the way to church you are more interested in receiving texts on your phone than reading the text from God's Word, you're not going to get anything. If all you think about is what you're going to do after it's over, what before it and after it, and don't give any preparation to come into the presence of God Almighty to hear His Word, which is a life and death matter, no, you're not going to get anything. God's not going to give you anything. Not going to give you anything. Why should He? There's preparation involved. Preparation. We don't treat this like any other thing. He said where two or three are gathered, I'm going to be there. That means physically, not virtually, physically. Get up, put your clothes on, wash your clothes, prepare your clothes. Does that matter what you wear and how you conduct yourself? I'm coming down to meet with them. My, my, my. How would you prepare yourself if you were going to go visit the king? That's what he tells us. This is a privilege. This is a high honor. For the Lord to grace us with his presence, we don't deserve it. Now how are we going to approach this? How are we going to treat this? What are we going to do before we get here? What about when we leave? Oh, if you hear from him, you're going to be talking about him. Like the Queen of Sheba. Man, when she came to hear, she came a long way. Most of us don't travel very far. It's no real sacrifice to come hear this gospel. Do you know how far our Lord came down from this? What's a little drive in our air conditioner, heated cars, and leather seats? Come on. You get ready now. You prepare yourself. And you come. I'm coming down. I'm coming. Be ready. In the sight of all the people on the Mount Zion. That's where the Lord meets his people. Every time. He's promised, brothers and sisters. It's just Sunday and I'm the same old man. You're the same old people. But Our Lord doesn't use figures of speech. He doesn't exaggerate. He said, where two or three are gathered, I'm there. And boy, I want to hear from him, don't you? I really do. I want to see his glory. I want to see his face. I want to hear his voice. I need it. Need him in his presence, at his right hand. Pleasures evermore. Our Lord brought us out of Egypt. Why? To come and sit in this heavenly place and hear his voice. Man, I'm getting out of bed. And I'm going to get myself ready. By God's grace, I'm going to get myself ready. I'm going to come meet the Lord. How about you? As for me at my house, that's what we're going to do. That's what he told me to tell you to do. Okay? Be ready. Look at this. This is wonderful. Will you turn to Hosea 6 with me? I'll close. Hosea chapter 6. This is marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. He said, be ready. I'm coming down against the third day. Third day, I'm going to come down the sight of all the people. Hosea chapter 6. You know, Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3, he said, don't be ignorant of this one thing, that a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Remember that? Third day, how significant is that? Well, our Lord was in the grave for 3 days, and he rose on the third day. Huh? How significant is it? This earth is 6,000 years old, right? God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days. On the seventh day, what did he do? Rested. It's over. It's all over. All right? All right? When the Lord came down to this earth, it was 2,000 years ago, right? 2 days. We are entered into the 7,000th year right now. In 2000 or somewhere thereabouts, unbeknownst to most, we're in the 7,000th year. We're in the last days. He came 2 days ago, and on the third day, he says, I'm coming down. And everybody's going to see me. Somebody laugh with me. Listen to Hosea 6. Come, let us return unto the Lord. Hosea 6:1. He hath torn, he will heal us. He hath smitten, he'll bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, raise us up. And we're going to live in his sight. He's going to bear us on eagle's wings. All the way out of sight. One time I was watching an eagle in Rocky Mount. There was an eagle flying down the middle of Rocky Mount, Virginia, of all places. What in the world was an eagle doing in Rocky Mount, Virginia? I was driving down Main Street and looked over my head, and it was an eagle. All right. Bald white head, and it was flying down the middle of Main Street. I thought, why is the eagle here? I'll tell you why. For me to see. And I watched him as far as, and for long I watched him soar, soar, soar. So finally, he completely was in. He's gone. He soared. He soared into to God. I couldn't see him anymore. And that's our Lord. And we're waiting on him. We're waiting on him. He said, you men of Israel, don't stand gazing in the heaven. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen. Every eye shall see them. And in Isaiah 40, let me tell you this. Let me quote you this. In Isaiah 40, he told me to comfort you. And the very last verse in Isaiah 40 is this. They that wait on the Lord are going to mount up like on wings of eagles. They're going to run this race and not be weary. They're going to walk and not going to quit. I need to hear that, Kelly. He told me to run this race. How? Looking unto him. He told me to walk by faith, and I am. How? Following him. And by his grace, like Enoch, I'm going to walk on into glory. And let me quote this, let me tell you this story in closing. This is good. Robin, you'll love it. There was a bird that built a robin built a nest on our house. And any bird or any creature that comes anywhere near our place is protected. It's found a refuge. This house, our house, the birds build nests all the time. We won't touch them. And they feel safe. Well, this robin built this nest up way on the highest part of our house, up under the downspout and under the overhang, right there, up high, really high, about it's at least 25, almost 30 feet up. She built this nest. And I watched her every day. Watched her. And then finally I saw three or four little heads stick up in the nest. Three or four little heads sticking up there. And I watched her go and get food, come back and feed them, and go and get food, and come back and feed them. Just, I love that, don't you? I love it. All right, well, then those, I saw those heads really sticking out of the nest. And after a while, there's three of them on the edge of the nest. Fledglings, you know. They can't stay in that nest. They got to go. By the way, in Deuteronomy 32, it says, I stirred up the nest like an eagle. You can't stay in the nest. You got to fly. Well, these birds have never flown before. They're scared. They're afraid. It's a long drop. If I leave this nest, I'm going to fall. Oh, no. No, no. Well, lo and behold, I came back one morning and all of them were gone, but one. And I looked around; they weren't on the ground, so they're safe. They've mounted up on wings. They've gone. They're flying away. The Lord gave them wings to fly. They didn't fall; they flew. Well, this one little bird stayed on the edge of that nest for like 3 days. I know. She's scared. Robin, she's scared. What's going to happen to me if I leave this nest? I'm going to fall to the earth. No, 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 you're not. Come on now. Fly. What's going to happen to you when this is all over? Huh? What's going to happen to you that believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ? That He came down to us and with this gospel and sent a man to preach this good news to you, to comfort you, my people, and tell them to trust me and to keep my covenant, keep worshiping me all the days of their life. While the whole world is after this and that and the other, you tell them to keep my covenant, keep my gospel, keep coming to hear me, keep coming. The news is good. You just wait. You'll see. I'm coming for you. And you're going to mount up on wings of eagles and fly right into the face of God Himself. And boy, I think I hear that little bird every now and then singing. It's true, it's true, it's true, it's all true. Trust Him, only trust Him. Only. He will save. That's what I'm here to tell you. Okay. All right. Let's sing it, folks.